I'm Scathelock.
I'm Talos.
And I'm Hushtor.
And this is Outfox. Hello and welcome to Outfox. This week we have a special guest with us.
And we have a special episode where someone dies. Oh wait, actually, didn't Talos die between the episodes and then he's already come back?
I forget how that works.
I'm not sure how that works again.
I think you reincarnated in the Dark Assembly already.
Oh dear. Yeah. Or all good. I don't know. Either or is good.
So we have Poink, Pee Weasel, with us tonight. So go ahead and say hello to our small, minuscule listening audience.
Wow, sounds like you're describing my penis. Hello, folks.
Is your penis a fan of Outfox?
Oh, my penis is a fan of anything that it can take out for. But no, I've heard a few of you guys' episodes. I think you guys are great.
You're so kind. So kind. not only to be so complimentary, but to appear with us as well.
Oh, glad to do it. Anytime anybody wants me to come on and babble nonsensically, I'm glad to do it.
We babble nonsensically every week, so.
This is true.
It's what we do best.
Yeah, so if you ever want to babble nonsensically, this is the place to do it.
If you got to have a hobby. So, let's see, who's who here for the uninitiated?
I'm Scathelock. I am the host of the show, and my cohorts are Talos and Hushcho.
Hello, okay. I'm Talos.
Yes,
hi, Talos. I believe I've run into you before, and Hushiko, I know your icon. I'm looking at it here on Skype. It's that robot Japanese cat.
Yes, it's Doraemon.
One of
my absolute favorites. The classic show, and I always used to watch the episodes, and it is so funny. So many of the episodes are so funny, especially the older ones, because there are some of them you can watch, and they're just, at times, they are just so profoundly funny, and sometimes so profoundly inappropriate.
Oh, that's most Japanese animation, isn't it?
Yeah. Isn't that most animation, period?
Depends on what you watch. As a matter of fact, I was just in Canada, so my girlfriend is a huge fan of, like, Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
So she got me to watch this thing called Spirited Away, and beautiful film, but I sat there the whole time going, this little girl did not ask for any of this. This is kind of mean.
Yeah.
Then I realized this is basically Japanese animation, if it's not horribly wicked demonic monsters running around the countryside. It's little space alien girls all trying to hit on one boy that wants some other girl. Or am I thinking too much of Lum?
Definitely, I think you've summed up the major categories. There are others that are really marvelous, but seems like especially in the last 10 years they've been very much concentrating on like the moe and the, you know, the very very those two things you pretty much pinned down there.
Well, they do some great stuff with it until we Americans get a hold of it and completely fuck it up. Studio Ghibli is a good example.
Did you listen to the episode where we were talking about Sailor Moon?
No, but I want to. If you will tell me which one that is, that one's going on my download list too.
What? I think we've actually done that topic twice, which each time we're just shocked that we keep going further into
it. What's that, Bukkake Carnival where we did the Bitches Is Trippin'?
I don't know. Yeah,
that sounds about right. Bitches.
I'm typing it up. Coffee Carnival. Okay. I love your titles, by the way.
Bukkake Carnival.
But, like, Spirited Away was good. There was this other one about a flying kid on a broomstick.
Delivery Service.
Yeah, great film until they decided to cast Phil Hartman as the cat. Love the man as a comedian, but you've got this cute little cat. Hi, Kiki! I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Sounds like my perverted Uncle Bob. But no, I like Japanese animation. It's beautiful stuff. Take it, you guys, since you brought up Sailor Moon and stuff like that, you're big fans of animation in general?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
all right.
Up on the show more than once.
Well, gotta ask. I ask this on every Paw Pit show to every guest. Who's your favorite My Little Pony?
I think
Big Mac. There we go.
They named one after a hamburger?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think his name is short for Macintosh, though.
Yeah.
Since they're all Apple-themed, so I think that's right. I think my favorite is, if we're talking like the new show and not like the original, because...
I'm guessing the new show, since the old one was basically a toy commercial.
Yeah. Although, the original specials were so fucked up. Like, they were terrifying. Like, the first one was terrifying. And it wasn't, it wasn't like, girly, girly, flowers, sunshine, la, la, la. No, it was like, horrific hell beasts turning ponies into like, hell dragons and intimating death.
Wasn't that like every Care Bear movie too?
Yeah, it pretty much
actually,
was.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like here's these cuddly little bears. It's like demon. Okay. Yeah, my first line of defense would be Winnie the Pooh. Go for it.
I don't really have a pony, but there was I think it was episode 11 somewhere before someone asked me what my if I had a pony Sona and what would it be. And,
oh, God, I remember this.
Yes, yes.
We even had an episode named after it, didn't we?
Yes, we did, Wild Berry Pie.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
he is, like, oh, God, I forgot how that went, because I was just being a total asshole.
As disturbingly as possible, I believe.
Yes, it went really south really quick. I was just being a total dick, because I don't know, personally, just not really into the ponies. It's not my thing, but, he had, like, a giant penis that shot out cream cheese icing, and he was a cake decorator.
Oh, so we're back on the Japanese stuff. to be honest with you, it's a loaded question. I'm not a huge fan of it either, and just in case there are any bronies that listen to your show, I will say up front, I don't think it's a bad show. It's very well done. I've seen a couple of the episodes. The stories are really well done as well, but... whenever I see an episode, I have two trains of thought at the same time. One is, this is a really well-done show, and number two, I'm not 6 years old. I feel like a pervert watching this show. And why do I want to touch myself? No, sorry. my little boner. Anyway.
I think I had to answer... because I've only seen like most of the first season series of it. And,
oh, you lucky bastard.
Well, you know, I find the show, I think it's very well done too, but I just, for some reason, I just never get around to it. Because I don't watch television anymore because I had to make a choice to either have the cable hookup for the television in my room or the cable hookup for the internet in my room. My studio, yeah. And I have a television in here, but I never actually use it for any, like, recreational television watching, and so I never end up watching television. So I was glad it was on Netflix so I could actually watch some of it, but anyway, I think my favorite pony would probably be Pinkie Pie, because of the episode Party of One, where she kind of goes insane because she thinks that everybody stopped liking her, but they're actually planning a surprise party for her. So she kind of snaps and just goes completely insane. It's one of the funniest episodes of anything I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
But I think the one that I most like is probably Rarity. I keep getting people telling me I'm like Rarity. And someone even gave me a badge that had Rarity on it because I was...
in the voice.
I don't know what it was. I think I did something very Rarity, they said. And later on when I thought about it, I thought, yeah, I guess that is pretty Rarity. Because there were these... I was helping to do something with, like, an artist alley at a convention.
Uh-huh.
And one of the administrators had these horrible, horrible curtains put up that were, like, shutting off the alley place. And people had to keep going back and forth between them, you know, and it was very inconvenient. So I took the curtains and just, like, cast them aside, you know, like Moses parting the Red Sea. As I said, this will not do. And apparently okay. That was it.
I don't even know the character that well, and I got to say, yeah, that's very rarity-like of you.
So were these wow. curtains, like, really gaudy, or...?
No, they weren't gaudy as much as they were gaudy. They were gaudy. I will say that they were tacky, not really gaudy, but tacky.
Okay, yeah. Are we actually discussing curtains here, guys? My penis is shriveling. Oh Jesus!
It was more the case that they were extremely inconvenient because the people still had to be going through them, but they were really tacky too. So I was appalled on a variety of levels.
I gotta ask, where are you from?
Well. Pretty much everywhere. It seems like I was born in one place, and then my father moved us all around. He had this idea that you know he would you know go up in the world by taking all these ridiculous jobs in different places. So, as you know, children are all pretty much bastards. You know, like they will find the difference and then they will harp on it and make you feel like pretty much yeah. So I started to be a little chameleon, you know, and pick up little bits everywhere and I did some vocal training later on that gave me some more concrete influences.
Oh God, are you gonna tell me you're from Queens, New York now?
No.
Yeah, I was actually born in the Bronx. but no,
it's a fucking funny clone there,
dude. It's like you listen to it, you could say the most poofed up Nathan Lane-ish thing, and it just comes out so elegant. Oh, Lord Cork. Just, wow.
He has said some, like, wild stuff before. And
I have said some wild stuff before.
Damn. I just got to give you credits. Like, these curtains are just atrocious. I'm like, okay, that is not something I would say, but I enjoy hearing it from him.
You know, what's funny is that, and I still have kind of a thing with this, I cannot stand to hear myself speak usually. And the podcast has kind of, you know, I'm kind of come to terms with it, but I don't know, pretty much before then, and most of the time, I cannot stand to hear myself speak.
I think you do fine. I think all three of you do fine. I'm going to rip on you like hell tonight, but that's just what I do.
Okay, we would expect no less.
Yeah.
My reputation, just like my penis, precedes me.
but before we go off too far, for the listeners who do not know who you are, so could you give us like a little, the whole who you are, what you do kind of thing?
Well, I'm a male. If you couldn't tell by the deep voice. But no, in all seriousness, I play a couple of characters on the Funday Pawpaw show. I play Pointy Weasel, which is a ferret that's been modified with bright red LEDs. I also play Hubert T. Manatee, who's a kind of an addled, I don't want to say Alzheimer's disease type mentality sea cow, but yeah, I'm just no sea cow, just leave me alone, that kind of thing. And I've turned that into the Point Cast, which is basically 3 to 5 minutes of sketch comedy. I try to put out weekly, but lately has been more like monthly or every couple of months, just because I've also taken on the duties of helping run a convention, also helping to set up AnthroCon this year, along with Cuddlepup as far as programming. And actually, I just mailed it off this morning, my first live CD, which should be being put out by Rabbit Valley in the next couple of weeks.
Well, congrats. Wonderful. Yeah.
So awesome. We'll see how it all works. But other than that, I'm, you know, like everybody else, I like to play video games and read a lot, and I touch myself through free porn on the Internet.
So that's something we can all have in common.
Yes, including the women.
So what's your favorite game to play recently?
Actually, lately, and not to keep doing these gratuitous plugs, but I'm actually working on my first video point cast, which will be about this game.
Oh, very cool.
Which I swore I would never do a video game review, and oh, come on, everybody and their brother does it. I mean, I grew up on James Ralph, you know, the angry video game nerd, people like that. And when you see this video, you'll say the same thing. He's never done one, and this wasn't one either. But it's BioShock Infinite.
I've heard good things about that. Of course, I never played any of the others, so I wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I should jump in.
Well, first off, you can, because you don't have to have played the first two. Mm. I thought the same thing, but I played the first one, and although it had a kind of a nice vibe to it, they have absolutely nothing in common.
Mm.
And the second one I didn't even bother with, because I'm also, as far as podcasts and stuff like that, I'm a big fan of Ben Yahtzee Croshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Who does Zero Punctuation.
Yeah.
And I agreed with him. The second one was basically, we just want to wring a sequel out of this mess. And I didn't bother. But the third one, completely isolated story, completely open-ended world. If you like to run around and explore stuff and just be a complete bastard, which is something I do in my spare time, you will love this game.
Kind of sounds like my experience in Guild Wars 2, running around.
Oh, Guild Wars, that's... I know the game name isn't... No, I'm thinking of Elder Scrolls, I think.
It's
Skyrim.
It's an MMO that's been put out, and basically people have been calling it Cat Wars recently because of the giant feline race of Char. Giant cats who can't jump.
Oh, God. Everybody is jumping on that bandwagon, the furry bandwagon in video games. I keep up with them. I don't buy them because, one, you really think I make money off this shit? And two, I just don't have the time. I mean, I had a Wii, and it collected dust for months before I sold it, but there's another Mario game coming out, which I like Mario games because they're reliable and they stick to the same plot. You know what the big gimmick is?
The cat suit with the palm. Yeah.
Why?
Japan.
Yeah. I think the biggest draw of that is the fact that you can actually play as different. There's different characters that you can't always play again. Because I loved Super Mario 2 back in the day.
Yes,
the US Super. I lived for that game. I was so fixated on that game when I got it, and it was new. You know, like, when we were younger, you wouldn't get games, like, all the time, so when you got a game, it was really special, and this game was, like, super extra special to me.
Oh, it was. I remember I rented it. I never could buy it because, you know, parents didn't buy games, but loved that game.
Yeah, it was actually the first video game I ever finished.
What was that?
Super Mario 2. It was the first one I played to the end.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to remember which one was me. Super Mario 1.
Oh, wow. You know, that's one I've never actually finished.
Neither have I.
I cheated my ass off.
The only one I ever finished on the NES was Kirby's Adventure. And that was, easy.
I love Kirby's Adventure, but it is easy. Even the creator said, I created this for people who like Mario games but suck at them.
That's
me, too. I just finished a couple of games, like, recently. I bought a 3DS, and I just finished both the Mario games, but here's why. The game actually, if you play it and you die enough times on a level,
mm-hmm.
They basically give you this power-up that says, you fucking suck. Here, finish the level and go. I finished the entire game with that thing.
Yeah. I like that, though. I think that's good because, like, if you're constantly failing at a level, you're obviously not having as much fun as you could or should have. So I'm big for games. Like SNK started to do that with King of Fighters and things like that. You know, like, if you get defeated, you can pick a boost or you can just pick no boost. As you continue. I think that's really good because people, when they play games, you know, it's okay to lose a few times, but if you're failing in the same place again and again and again, it's nice to get a little bit of a helping hand.
Yeah, because you're not having fun.
Yeah.
I think they started that with the Mario Galaxy 2.
I don't know.
Well, I know there's sort of like the bomb mode where the second player basically can hold you all the time. And I don't know, they just call it mom mode because it's usually you think some kid's playing with his mom's there, like helping him not fall off a cliff and pick up coins for him and clean up after him. And,
and they call it mom mode?
No, that's just what it got dubbed.
God, can you be any more emasculating than that? I suck at Gears of War. Play it in mom mode. Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, since we're on the subject, since the big news right now is the big new systems, what do you think about all the stuff coming out of E3?
Well, I'm kind of glad that Sony totally bitch-smacked Microsoft around.
Oh, yeah.
I got to give Microsoft credit for Moxie, because I watched the interview this morning, and they're like, oh, you don't want to play with the internet? Well, we make something for you guys called a 360. Stick with that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Somebody's not a little sore over that. But no, a lot of the games from E3 look really good. I was showing Bushicho and Talus, you know, screenshots from the 6th-gen Pokemon that looks amazing.
Yeah, that does look amazing.
Yeah, they've added the fairy type now.
Yes, fairy type.
Fairy type, okay. Nathan Lane again, I'm guessing. Oh, what are you doing to that Pokemon? Oh.
I don't know.
No, it's Skitty and Wilma.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know they can produce offspring, right?
Yes.
What, yeah. Nathan Lane or Pokemon?
No, no, like this is one of the funniest things about Pokemon is like Pokemon of a similar type, the same type, same group can produce offspring, and so you've got Skitty, which is like the size of a kitten, and Wailmer, which is obviously a whale, but somehow they can produce offspring. And I'm not sure about the dynamics of this or how it works out, but yes, apparently Skitty and Wilma can reproduce together. And I'm not sure how they work this out.
Maybe just Wilmer has a really tiny penis.
You know, one of the beauty things about doing Skype is I can look these things up while you. Oh, that's a Skitty. They're not even trying. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, I've seen some goofy Pokemon. I mean, there's like one that's just basically it's a lamp.
Yeah. Yes.
Quick and all them, yeah.
Thank you. I'm like, okay, kids are stupid.
Have you seen Liam? We've been obsessed about this for like 3 weeks now. But no, have you seen the Pokemon Fusion thing that they're doing?
No.
It's so fun. It's so, Skate, you've got to give him the link.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
Oh, okay. It's absolutely wonderful because you can take like two Pokemon and they fuse their
sprites.
Yeah, if you want some amusement, put Jinx as the first or the second in any of them, and if you want horror, put Starmie as the first or the second in any of them.
All right, let's go for that. Okay, you said Jinx, right?
Yeah,
Jinx. Jinx is comedy gold no matter who you are.
All right, well, let's go with Jinx, and let's see. Ah, my favorite Jigglypuff, I don't know why.
I love Jigglypuff, that's wonderful.
Yeah, Jigglypuff's one of those, you love them, but you'd never want to play as them. It's like, yeah, they're cute, just get him away from me. And the second one, Psyduck, I've always wondered about him. Like, I had friends in school that were like that guy.
I think we all had a Psyduck friend, you know, like that Psyduck. I think that's why just Psyduck's personality kind of communicated with so many people. I think everybody has a friend who's Psyduck. And if you don't, you probably are the Psyduck.
Actually, that is probably something that could be words to live. Oh, my God. Okay, I just combined Jinx and Mr. Mime and... Oh, my good Lord in heaven. That, there's a drag queen you wouldn't want to run into. Gotta love the internet, bringing folks together through perversion.
It's some type of nightmare blow-up doll thing.
Yeah, I'm going to dream about that later, unfortunately. That's the problem.
The Pokemon with the
Link, I'll be bringing it to the show this weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, Blitz, here's something for you. Oh, my God.
Traumatized the poor kid more.
Oh, this is good. We're really getting back into the evil. I feel so accomplished.
Yep.
Evil is beautiful, man.
But there's the two Smash Brothers titles coming out.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, now there's
the Wii Fit Instructor.
You up?
Yeah, one for the 3DS and one for the Wii U.
Oh, my God. Okay, and you can play the Wii Fit Instructor.
Yeah. Also, they brought back Classic Mega Man as one of the new playable characters. And the main character from Animal Crossing, the villager.
Oh, not the raccoon, Mr. Nook?
No.
And the sad thing is I know these names.
I love Animal Crossing. I haven't played it in a long time, though.
They just put a new one out that everybody's telling me I need to get.
Yeah.
Newly.
Yeah, it just came out, like, less than weeks ago. Like.
Okay, I gotta learn not to click on certain links. Just started playing a commercial in the background for the new Superman film.
I don't know about that movie.
Superman and his amazing package. Superman.
I've seen it.
Naked and covered in CG fire.
Well, let's see. The first thing it's got going for it is it's not Superman Returns.
That's true.
I mean,
kind of like Brendan Ralph.
I do like him. I really do like him. I was really sad that his turn as Superman, you know, like his big his big role was just so
awful.
Yeah, it was. It was just not a good.
Well, he had a nice turn in Scott Pilgrim.
Yes, he did.
Oh yeah, that's right, didn't he?
And he also did Dylan Dog.
Yeah, he did, which I think was actually, I don't know, like it. I think the reason why some of the people that, well, lost the people that saw it didn't really take to it was that in some ways it changed too much from the comic, and in other ways it didn't change enough from the comic.
Well, I think the big problem with that was, for some reason, and it sounded good on paper, they wanted to continue the Christopher Reeve films,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, it was the comic book fans' idea. Here's the problem with that. Most comic book fans' ideas are shit. Okay?
Yeah. Especially, actually, the writers they get nowadays. It's very fanboyish in terms of, like, community of, like, Marvel and DC. It's really, really fanboyish what they do.
Well, look what happened to X-Men 3.
You
had so many cameos in it, and all I've got are two words for you. Mr. Freeze, okay? That was the fanboy. It's like, who should play Arnold Schwarzenegger? You've seen this man act, have you not? I'll tell you a quick story. For my birthday, about 10 years ago, or whenever Batman and Robin hit the theater, it was the only Batman film I did not go see in the theater. Somebody thought they'd do me a favor and give me a pre-release copy of it on VHS.
Oh, no.
And I went to a buddy of mine's house, and we sat there and we watched it. This movie was so bad that we sat there dumbfounded, and the only thing that saved our lives was his power went out.
You know, I don't know. I think it's because I've seen a lot of vampires, and we will have Talis. You probably don't know the story.
No.
Go for it.
But one of our guests, a friend of mine who is also a comic author, Caleb Cat, came on the show a couple of weeks ago when Talis was away sheep shagging and drinking. And we had watched together one Halloween. I'm so sorry, Talis.
I'm not.
You're never told. I spent an entire 2 weeks listening to people like you.
Did you tag the sheep?
Yeah, I had this work. No.
That's We watched this film called God of Vampires that we tried to, and we got like an hour in, and it was just, it was the worst film. And see, I love to watch bad movies. I love to watch bad movies, especially with friends. There's just something about them. There's something addictive. But oh my God, God of Vampires was just, it was so bad that the DVD player refused to play it after a point. And it was right after the point where they tried to be funny, and we were appalled because it wasn't funny at all. It was actually really offensive. Wow. And I think it was me that said, that's just not funny. and then just like right after that, the DVD player was just like, okay, fuck this. I'm done. I'm so done. Goodbye.
It's like God reaches down and says, okay, you've had enough. Because the power went out right when they introduced Bane, I think they called him in it, but it was this big gorilla thing. So me and my buddy yanked the tape out of the machine, and we drove off, and we handed it to the first little kid we saw walking the side of the street. It's like, here, want to really piss off your folks? Take this home. But, yeah, fanboys, they suck at things like that. And that's what you got with Superman Returns. Because with Superman Returns, it's like, we're going to continue the original Superman films with Christopher Reeve, but we're going to pretend 3 and 4 never happened. Well, first of all, you can't do that. That's like pretending 1, 2, and 3 Star Wars didn't happen. And God knows I've tried. But the other problem is everybody in the movie was just so bland. Nobody did anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and fundamentally, the story behind it made everything seem very tawdry and very out of character anyway. I mean, it really was very fanboyish in that it felt like something that was basically fan fiction made into a huge budgeted film. And that's my biggest problem with a lot of modern comics like Marvel and DC. A lot of it just has this sort of fan fiction level feel to it, except they've given it the legitimacy of actually publishing it.
Yep. I agree with that. And they did that with Superman Returns. And that's the thing. Look, I know the comics. I love the comics. I think Lex Luthor, great villain. But every time you see him, you've got this super-powered alien that can take over the world. And basically, he's fighting a guy that's just trying to make a sweet-ass land deal. He just, I want California, take it. Will that stop you from blowing up the world? Fine, we're done here. Move along. So, yeah, the new movie, I'll be honest, I've heard enough about it, and I'm one of those people, if I don't want to go see the movie before it comes out on video, I'll wait for the plot to come out. So I've already read the plot. If you want a movie that actually is going to bring Superman back to the badass that you thought he was, this is probably a good watch.
It's General Zod again, isn't it?
It is General Zod, and you will definitely see a lot of action, which Superman Returns did not have.
You know, speaking of Superman Returns and action, they actually put out a game, a tie-in game. And since we were talking about video games, I thought I'd try and tie this in.
Which version?
Well, I only got the Xbox version. It was, I forget if it was
lucky.
Regular. I don't know. Anyway.
It was released for the DS. I got that version. And basically, they're like, well, we can't have you fight on the DS. You get to play Tetris to control Superman. Oh, I'm in the movie now. Well, what was your experience like with the Xbox?
My experience was that, see, that I have to explain a dynamic of the game was that, of course, since Superman is pretty much invincible, aside from Kryptonite, you really don't have, like, a life bar, a health bar, or anything like that. So they thought they'd be novel, which was actually a pretty neat idea. I mean, I've seen games that do this very well.
Okay.
You know, eschewing the health bar in favor of something else, like, you know, like supporting character health or survival or whatever. So basically, your health bar is the welfare of Metropolis. And see, that is an okay idea, except the city of Metropolis is so fucking needy, and you can't ignore the problems. So, like, if something goes pear-shaped, you're fucked. You're completely fucked. So you have to, like, basically, Superman has to micromanage every fucking thing in Metropolis. Like, the flying around is great, but he always has to, like, he'll be saving some sort of ambulance crew, and he'll be, oh, fuck, there's a bank robbery, so I've got to do that, too. And it's like, does the actual law enforcement in Metropolis not actually do anything? Because in the game, you have to go around, you have to save everybody, you have to do all this, because that little bar, it goes down so quickly that you would think, like, it's me with a bottle of gin or something, I don't know, but it was a neat idea, but oh my god, the city of Metropolis is like the neediest city in the world. And, of course, since it's one of those superhero films, they always have this assumption that, like, there's no other superheroes anywhere in the world. So only Superman, and he has to do everything. Oh my god. It was maddening.
It does make you wonder why Superman just doesn't go at some point and just say, fuck it, and, you know, I don't care. So I killed the guy. Big, fat, hairy deal.
That's kind of what I ended up doing in the game. I was just like, okay, fuck it. Just sort yourself out. Sort yourself out.
I mean, I kind of wonder that about any superhero. I mean, I love superheroes, and I love, like, you know, action heroes and stuff, but it's like Doctor Who. How many times are you going to save the friggin' world and you're going to lose the broad you've got with you and you're going to keep going with this? Why don't you just give up? You know, you got a time machine. Go see the birth of Christ. Leave us alone. And I'm sure if you're a Doctor Who fan, you've heard Matt Smith is now leaving the show.
Yeah. I heard about it, but
I'm not sure if who is a
he's the one that looks like the Muppet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's the dippy guy.
He looks like plastic, but I wasn't sure though if anybody here, like, I grew up with the original show, and I'm a big fan of the original show, and I pretty much like spit acid at the revival series, but I don't know if anybody else on this show. Does anybody else watch the new series?
I've watched whatever I can. To be honest, okay. I like all of it, to be honest. Like, I mean, they all have their good points, like, to me, like, but I haven't got to watch enough of the older stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, my favorite episode I still think is the British Laughing Day one, where, you know, they have Joanna Lumley as the Doctor.
Yes, oh my god,
and
yes.
Rowan Atkinson, but...
Oh, The Curse of the Fatal Death.
Yes.
Yeah. Love that one. I think Rowan would have been the perfect Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, he was wonderful. Joanna was wonderful. I really love, of course, Talis and I really love Joanna Lumley. We're huge Joanna Lumley fans.
And I actually grew up on the original show, too. I liked it, but it was a hard show to follow because, one, every episode was like 4 hours.
Yeah,
you know, I don't do stuff I enjoy for 4 hours. It's like, okay, I get it. Long corridors, fine. Could we get to the point sometime here? But I did enjoy it, and with the new show, I enjoy it too. But it has kind of fallen into a formula. I'm one of those people that when I get into a show, I wait till it all comes out on DVD, and I just get it all at one time.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't have to, you know, coming next week. Fuck you. I'm busy next week. Give me the next episode. You know, he gets laid in this one. I'm skipping ahead.
Yeah, I usually like to wait until the series is complete more these days, because there are so many series that I've gotten into and I'll start on, and then it'll completely, like, shit itself and die in the middle, and I'm just like, wow, that's wonderful. I'm so glad I invested my time into this. So now I wait until the series is over. Or at least, you know, the season is over. I wait until I can get to a stopping point,
yep,
and I can be fulfilled, because I've seen so many series where I've wasted so much time.
Yep. I'm the same way. I hate that you're watching, you love the show, and then you're watching it, and it's like, when did this become just a flaming pile of horse shit?
Yeah.
X-Files did that. I love the X-Files. And then towards the end, I'm like, okay, we get it. Nobody believes you. The truth is out there. We a fucker already. Let's move on here.
You know, that's so refreshing to hear, because, like, my parents really love the X-Files. And at the time of, like, the first few series, you know, of course, I was living at home. I was in school. And And I really just did not like the fact that every time there was some sort of contrived circumstances to where they couldn't prove anything, and Scully, who was supposed to be like the reasonable one, always found out these reasons, you know, to try and explain it away, so much so that it seemed like she had some sort of problem after a while. Like, you know, she had witnessed all these overtly superhuman, you know, if not like extraterrestrial alien, then alien to the human experience things.
Yep.
And she'd be like, oh no, it was, you know, swamp gas.
Yeah, like, it's a denial to the umpteenth degree. It's like, Scully, the alien fucked you. No, it's that time of the month. I can explain that.
Jenna started fucking believing when she got impregnated with a fucking alien baby.
Even that one she didn't really believe. It's like, it was the government. It's like, trust me, lady, if it was the government, you wouldn't be around to explain it. So we know what to do with a hooker. It's... But, yeah, you know, a good example, big show right now that I really like is The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to wait until, like, a few seasons hit and just blitzkrieg my way through. It's like, oh, so that's what this is about. Great. But now I'm just waiting for the inevitable plummet into Shitsville.
Yeah.
Because it's sixth season now, and, you know, at some point it's just going to go downhill.
I can't really get into Big Bang. I don't know. It's...
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, I find it quite funny myself. But.
I do, too. It touches close to home. Plus, you can watch it, and you got to give whoever does the writing credit. They know people will look, so all the geeky references they make are honest.
Yeah.
It's like Xbox. Okay, I've got Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Reach. It's like, okay, those are real.
Yeah.
You're not making them up. It's not like when somebody shouts at the screen, his number is 555-1212. You know, at least they're trying to keep it realistic. But, yeah, X-File, big thing. My roommate from some time ago was into it. He got me into it, and I started watching it, and I'm like, okay, this is the same shit now every goddamn week. I'm sick of this. Let's move on. So I get what you're saying. Doctor Who did it the same way because I hated the new guy. I really did. I was a big David Tennant fan because, well, he was cute, but that's just me. But they got rid of him, and they brought in this other guy, so I just watched all the episodes with him. Now I like him. And then last week, well, he's leaving. Oh, fuck me. I got to learn to hate the other guy till he leaves. Just, thanks a lot, assholes. Just... But that's just the way TV is. Movies are the same way. It's rare that I get into them. And you mentioned the superhero thing. Is there any superhero movie that's come out that you like recently? Like, everybody's real big into the Avengers and stuff.
This wasn't a movie, but it was a TV series. The Flash with Mark Hamill is...
Oh, God. I was a huge fan of it. John Wesley Shipp as The Flash?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. I rewatched... some of that a couple of years ago. I actually got the DVD set.
So do I.
The suit was to die for. It's like,
yes.
You finally got it right.
Yes.
But there was also this thing I saw on the internet. It was for the Justice League. It was a pilot for the Justice League.
Oh, God. Show. David Ogden Stiers is the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Winchester. Just what we needed. And they actually went a step back because... If you've watched the show, obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I'm like, could you have fucked the character up any worse than this? Besides the movie 2 years ago. Just because, God, that was bad. But the show you're talking about, Justice League, oh, but God, the pilot was horrible.
This wasn't, like, animated. I'm talking about the live-action pilot.
Yeah, it was live-action.
Okay. Yeah, I know he is.
They actually got the guy who played the Crypt Keeper to do the Atom.
Yeah, Johnny Kassir.
Yeah, Ray Kassir.
Ray Kassir? Oh.
Yeah, it was horrible. And the big villain that flummoxes everybody is the Weather Wizard. Oh, good. Oh. It does make me wonder, is anybody here hyped about the new show coming out, S.H.I.E.L.D.?
God, no.
Nah, first time I've heard of it. I don't really.
It's based on the Avengers. If you watch the trailer, you kind of get the idea behind it. It's basically, you saw Nick Fury, you know, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Yep.
His team. basically now has a TV show, and they brought back Coulson.
Oh.
Well, wasn't there a Nick Fury TV show with David Hasselhoff?
Oh, God.
Why did you have to bring that up?
You have to dig up all my childhood memories and shit on them. here's one for you. Robin Williams made Popeye.
I just watched it the other day.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know, I forgot it was a musical. I really did.
I do model my career as a comedian after Robin Williams, though. It's like, when I do finally make it big, I want to try to resurrect a comic book character that nobody gives a shit about anymore.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to go, like, star in a remake of Mork and Mindy.
Oh, God, no. I'll probably just do something like The X-Files, but make it funny.
Hey, Pam Dober's still hot.
Oh, God, yes. And I think I'll end it with fucking my nanny and then having to get a divorce and let CBS hire. But, yeah, God, Popeye was just so slow. It was one of those things that came on HBO. I'm like, is this movie still playing? You know, he hasn't punched anything. He's just walking around with these big foam arms. What the fuck?
I think that was, oh, yes.
But you have to admit, Shelley Duvall did make a good olive oil.
Well, yeah, they had to find the one actress in Hollywood with no tits. That's her. Popeye's always been a mystery to me anyway. It's like, okay, he's a sailor. That is, okay, not the stereotype, but sailors are pretty much known for fucking anything that moves, right? So, the only thing he can come up with is this woman?
Well, you know, there are several episodes, and I didn't notice this until I watched it again as an adult, but when I was watching some of the cartoons, there was like this one episode, especially, and I wish I could remember the title of it, but it's basically Popeye and Bluto do everything short of actual penetration, it seems like. Like, they ended it with spanking, which was probably the mildest thing and yet the most outright overt thing that they did in it. And I was just sitting there with my mouth wide open, not for any prurient reasons, but because I was shocked. But,
yeah.
But, like, it was actually really surprising. Because I didn't notice any of this as a child.
And it's a frightening concept. Half the stuff in those old cartoons, you don't notice till you get older and they won't let you watch them anymore.
Yes!
Like Looney Tunes. You thought it was all cute, and then you listen back and the wolf that's howling at Elmer Fudd, the transvestite, is actually howling, "How old is she?" And you go back, and that's actually why you don't see them on television anymore, because they went back and they looked at it as like the bartender standing in front of the nude picture. You might as well move on. I ain't moving. Then you realize this was not for you.
Well, there was a scene in The Rescuers with a naked woman in the window when they were flying by.
Rescuers, wasn't that the thing with the two mice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't remember that part because I was too busy thinking about fucking the mouse. If I need to, you know, set my alignment anywhere, there you go. But no, I actually never saw The Rescuers.
Yeah, the first one was better than the one they released in the early 90s where they went to Australia.
Oh, yeah. That's usually a good sign. That's usually a good sign that your movie series has gone down the crapper is... Brady Bunch goes Hawaiian, The Rescuers go down under, Paul Hogan comes to America.
Any of you guys actually remember the 1980s Popeye cartoon, Popeye and Son?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and, like, he has, like, a teenage son, and it's, like, all, you know, 80s.
Oh, and even better with the way they tried to explain him away for the new generation.
Yes.
That was back when every show had to have the moral ending, like G.I. Joe. So then they had him, it's like, well, you smoke a pipe. Well, I just toot on it. You big pussy. I hope you get a face full of hot ash, you stupid bastard. What the hell?
You know, if knowing is half the battle, then the other half must be kicking ass, because that's the only other thing that they did on that show.
Well, yeah, nobody got laid on it. It's like, here you got these military men and women together. It's like, you do notice she's got tits. No, I just thought she was good with a crossbow.
Well, I mean, look at Shipwreck.
Oh, God, try not to.
And Tomax and Zaymort and...
Snow Job.
Yeah.
Need we go on? Need we go on?
Although you did name my problem with that show. It's like I would watch the show and I'd want to enjoy it, but it's like you always focused on the lame characters. Shipwreck got more airtime than Scottie Pippen on that fucking show. It's like he's a goddamn sailor. He doesn't have anything special except the fucking parrot.
And the best part is they meet him in a desert where there is no water.
Yeah, or Snow Job is like, let's send him out to the pyramids. You do realize he's all white, correct? What a horrible fucking show. And the Transformers, same thing. You got all these cool robots. Who are we going to focus on? The Volkswagen.
I did like Tomax and Zaymort there, the Crimson Twins. I thought they were a lot of fun.
Oh, of they were cool.
They were obviously like an incestuous gay couple. So maybe that's why they didn't get enough screen time. They were actually going to really play up their part if it had continued with the same company.
Yeah, they're kind of like the incestuous relationship you've seen between Team Rocket on the Pokemon show. Oh, Jesse! No. Yeah, cartoons back then were just so fucked up. And even the live-action shows, everything Sid and Marty Krofft did, it's like, no, we can do drugs? Really?
The Bugaloos.
Lidsville.
Yeah.
Talking Hats.
Just drop before you watch any of those shows, and it will probably take you into new levels of enlightenment and horror.
Yeah, it's like you're getting A-list stars like Jim Neighbors, and the big villain on Lidsville is Charles Nelson Reilly. Okay. God.
Well, what about Hanna-Barbera and the Banana Splits?
Oh, Hanna-Barbera and everything was trash. I mean, I hated every single fucking show Hanna-Barbera ever did. It's like, first of all, every character's got a collar or a kerchief or something because you just don't want to animate the neck. The head's just going to turn. Second of all, it's like, does everybody have to have a goddamn animal sidekick or a ghost or whatever? And third, okay, Scooby-Doo barely worked once. Do we have to keep remaking it all the time with different characters?
I am.
You mean like Vincent Price or?
Vincent Price. Then you've got the not just Scooby Doo, but it's like Scooby works. So what else can we do? Let's do the Clue Chasers or whatever they're called, the Clue Club, with two dogs.
Was that? I think that may not have been Hanna-Barbera though. Because I know there was one of them that was really pretty notable. I want to say it was Clue Club that wasn't Hanna-Barbera but was trying to, like, ride that train. I mean, you're extremely right because, you know, they had Jabberjaw and then...
Oh, yeah, that's going to work out. It's like, Mr. Shark, he's your buddy.
and he sounds like Curly, so, you know.
Everything sounded like Curly. He was just the most imitated voice they could come up with. Even the women were like, woo, 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 okay, fine, got it. And some of the shit, and then when they had to do the ethnic shows, and I'm sorry, I'm fine with that. Rickety Rocket, okay, they're kids in space, but everything came from a junkyard. Boy, we're not setting the bar low. Or Speed Buggy.
What about the Chan Clan?
Oh, God, that set evolution back a few years. It's like, okay,
Speed Buggy.
He's Chinese, and he apparently fucks like a fiend.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, good God. Who else did they take shots at? Mr. T?
Yeah.
Hanna-Barbera. Gary Coleman had a show.
Mark and Mindy, I found out, had an animated show.
Oh, I wish all I could of those out. Had a show. Mark, Mindy, Laverne, and Shirley joined the army.
I wish I could find which one I... Because I know that a few years ago, for some reason, I was reading on these, and one of them that I remembered so prominently was not Hanna-Barbera, but it seemed like it was. But yeah, Clue Club and Speed
Buggy. Actually, Clue Club was Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, Hanna-Barbera. Yeah, I looked it up just now, too. So I can't... That's going to bother me, though. I know one of them wasn't...
I mean, I know who you're thinking of. You're thinking of Filmation.
Yeah, I, I'm... I'm thinking there was another one that was a lot like it seemed like it should have been a Hanna-Barbera one, and it followed that same
one. Those. I'll look it up real quick.
Filmation. Sometimes their stuff was okay, and sometimes it wasn't.
They did some good stuff, but they also
the Tom and Jerry cartoons, for example, that they put out. Those were pretty bad.
They did a few good shows. They were the original Ghostbusters. This was a subject we covered on the Paw Pet Show because nobody believed it. It's like, I'm a huge Ghostbuster fan. I love the real Ghostbuster cartoon and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, well, that show was a bunch of assholes. Why'd they have to call them the real Ghostbusters? Well, because Filmation put out this piece of shit with a talking gorilla and the guys from F Troop. So they had to make sure nobody confused one group of fantasy chasing morons with another.
Yeah, actually, that was, I believe that was based on a live action series.
It was.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah, it was the two guys from F Troop and a guy in a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
And it was the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
Because I remember it's like, okay, you can tell just looking at these guys, they are way past their prime. And I'm surprised Larry Storch is still alive.
Is he?
Oh, God, yes. He's like 90.
Wow. I for some reason, I thought that he had passed away, but I guess he didn't.
You sure it was thought or hope?
No.
I mean, not to be mean, but besides F Troop at Ghostbusters, the guy's biggest claim to fame was Mr. Whoopee on Tennessee Tito. So this is not what I want on my tombstone, thank you.
Out of Tennessee Tuxedo in heaven.
I'm sorry, I hate to be dredging up these old memories.
You know who's my favorite in Popeye, and who didn't get enough appearances, probably because most of his stories were too mature?
I'm scared now.
Poop Deck Pappy.
Well, with a name like that, he sounds like a porn star. You're going to, you know, Poop Deck Pappy takes it up the ass. It's like, that was pretty descriptive for the time.
It's Popeye's father. And like, he's kind of insane. Like, he's kind of, I don't know if he's got, like, delirium or if he's senile or whatever. He seems to be sort of together. But then sometimes it just sort of, you know, maybe it was like a put on for Popeye, because he would go out, like he would sneak out at night and go to the bar and get drunk and like pick fights with people. And it was funny. And Popeye was like, oh gosh, you know, Pappy, you're home, you can't be doing this at your age.
You're embarrassing me, you know, that kind of shit. And it's like, I think that was just the mentality back then with old people, because it was like that on Betty Boop. It's like, okay, when you get to a certain age, it's okay to tie them to a chair and leave them at home, apparently. Because Popeye did that a lot. It's for your own good, Pappy. It's like, bondage? Okay. Didn't need that, but thanks. Yeah, Filmation, I'm looking through all their stuff. They did a lot of horrible shows. They really did. But most of their stuff was just based on stuff that was popular, and they tried to turn it into a cartoon with animals, because they did, like, Mush, which was a ripoff on MASH.
Did they do the Brady Kids cartoon? Or no, I know they did the Star Trek one.
They did Star Trek. They did He-Man, which is what they're best known for. They did the Groovy Ghoulies, which I hate with a passion. They did She-Ra, Brave Star. They did Fraidy Cat, which I remember was really horrible.
Did they do the Drac Pack, or was that Hanna-Barbera?
I think Drac Pack was Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, I think so, too. I want to say it was.
Now I'm looking it up, too. Drac Pack was animated. Yeah, well, no shit. Nobody would call a live-action show
it's
Drac
Hanna-Barbera.
Pack. It's Hanna-Barbera. It was Australian Hanna-Barbera, which I guess helped it. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that is 70s. But yeah, you're talking about like the what people used to call the golden age of television with cartoons that Cartoon Network started running, but it was shows like Goldie Gold and Action Jack and a kid that turned into a car.
Turbo Team.
Yes, that one. You know,
I remember that. And I remember, like, thinking kind of, you know, I always overthought things when I was, I guess I was a precocious child or something, I don't know. But I always thought, like, what corresponded to what on his body when he turned into this car, and I was thinking, this must be horrifying. Like, it was my first real experience with, like, Cronenberg body horror. I just took it to the level.
When the fly came out and stuff?
Well, I mean, no, I mean, like, Turbo Team. That was my first experience with that kind of body horror. Because I actually overthought it to the point where I was thinking, this is a horrifying experience for him. He doesn't really have control of his own body. He's just witnessing his body transform into something it was never supposed to be. You know, it was sort of like Kafkaesque horror of
don't you think that's a little highbrow for this show, Kafka?
Well, you know, we did.
That's fine. People look him up.
We did do the episode called "This Is My Butt" that was all around Shakespeare.
Okay, so, I heard that one. I heard that one. That's got to be one of my faves right there. It's like, this is my, you know, the title's what got me. This is my butt. It's like, all right, that's saying yes. But no, I get exactly what you mean. Turbo Team to me was just creepy. Because I had actually, I think it was Cronenberg too, I had just finished watching not only The Fly, the remake, but also American Werewolf in London. And at the same time, there was another show that featured werewolves called Fang Face, which was like a polar opposite.
Isn't that where they showed him the picture of the moon and he transformed? And
yeah.
The sun was, yeah.
Yeah, and then they also had to bring in the baby that turned into a baby werewolf, and, you know, every single cartoon crime that had ever been committed was done on these shows.
The scrap goose syndrome.
Oh, God. And I'm trying to remember, the worst cartoon that ever was came out about the same time, at least my candidate, was when they were trying to turn every toy into a TV show, and they came up with Rubik the Amazing Cube.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, not only the voice, but they had this one episode that still sticks in my mind, which, here was the problem. My dad drank a lot. And he controlled the television, so we were kind of stuck with this. He'd start drinking at 10, and, you know, he'd leave it on one channel, and this is what we were stuck with. So, for some reason, he got into this show. And they had this one show where they kind of tried to explain the origin of this cube with an elf face. And they basically had where he was owned or he had escaped from a guy that ran a spooky carnival. And he was, like, telling the cube, and I'm a kid watching this, okay? This may have started me on my path to what I am today. He's talking to the cube, do you want the punishment? And the cube starts begging for mercy. I'm like, what the hell do you do to a fucking cube? Take it apart with a screwdriver like I did as a kid? I'm like, you people are just fucking nuts. But that's where I learned my hatred for Scooby-Doo. I really hope that when they finally make the last episode, it's basically them having him, you know, put down.
Oh, that's horrible.
Scooby-Doo got rabies.
That's, yeah, it's like,
oh, no. Scoob,
gas chamber. Oh, Raggy.
No, that's terrible. That's terrible.
I robbed you, Raggy. Die.
Just... No.
I'm sorry. I hated that fucking dog. I mean...
I think my biggest problem with the series wasn't so much. See, I think the original Mystery Machine, the original crew, you know, worked pretty well together. But in the other series, as they went along, they just cut out so many of the cast. Like they would just do like Shaggy and Scooby, and they would add new people. That was fine and everything. But like, I'm glad at least. Recently, when they've decided to bring back the Scooby Gang, that they've actually brought back the entire Scooby Gang and not just like two of them. Because even when I was a kid and I would watch these, I would be like, where the hell's Velma? You know, I always like Velma.
Munching carpet somewhere, I'm sure.
Probably.
Seascape, this is what we were talking about
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, this is exactly what
we were talking about. This, like, who would each of us be in the if we were in a Scooby gang? And we said Hoochie Show would be Thelma.
Damn. Yeah, I'm looking up the iterations of Scooby-Doo. It's like, that Great Dane got raped by Hanna-Barbera more than any other character.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody they could say, well, we need to bring Scooby back. Put him with Vincent Price.
Funny and Cher, the Three Stooges.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like he meets Dick Van Dyke. It's like, who gives a shit about Dick Van Dyke? Meets Jerry Reed. most kids don't even know who Jerry Reed is.
They air those every weekend on Teletoon Retro.
I am so sorry.
I've learned so much. It's like, oh, my God. I'm like, who the hell is that? It was the Sonny and Cher one. I'm like, who the hell? Because I come in halfway through. I'm like, who the hell are they supposed to be? Because I couldn't understand who. I was having a hard time understanding who Sonny was because it just didn't look like him in real life. It didn't match him very well. Like. Or then they had him with, oh, I'm trying to think of the guy from Three's Company.
Oh, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts, because he did like two or three episodes with them. And, like...
and you know the sad part? That's a perfect example of what's wrong with this country. Thank you. Don Knotts, one of the greatest slapstick Disney comedians that ever lived coming up. He's remembered as being the idiot from Three's Company.
Little fun fact,
he was talking about John Ritter.
Yeah. Fun fact, Don Knotts is actually from where my hometown, and they're planning on building a gold statue of him.
With what bullet, I'm assuming?
Hopefully it's not going to be a heroic Greek nude.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's what you want somebody to draw porn of. Rule 34, Don Knotts.
You know, I bet it exists.
Somewhere.
It exists for everything.
Like, it's got to exist. It's probably like him slashed with Andy Griffith.
Oh, God.
Bonus points if it's in the Matlock era.
Oh, God. Just like T.J. Hooker all over again.
Hooker's a good cop.
Oh, of course. Shatner would never play a bad guy. Good Lord, though. I mean, yeah, Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was like the Brady Bunch to me. It was one of those shows, they made shitloads of episodes, and everybody knew what it was, but nobody ever admitted to liking it. It's like the Brady Bunch. I remember it. Never could stand it, but I remember it. They made three seasons.
I think the funniest part of like, the Brady Bunch is finding out they were all pretty much fucking everybody else behind the scenes, and, like, it was very tawdry, and...
Yeah. It's just like the Partridge Family. The only guy anybody knows from that show now is the biggest prick, Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah.
I remember watching this show about, like, where the actors now, and it had the little girl that played Cindy on it, and she was saying, I wanted to get off the show before they did the episode of Cindy Gets Her Period. She's like, I do not want to go through this on this show.
Well, if you watch any of the biographies from those old shows, everybody involved always says the same thing. I hated that goddamn show. Yeah. You look at Gilligan's Island. If there was ever a group of people that hated each other's guts, it was like, you know, Gilligan always talks about the woman that played Ginger, and the only memory he seemed to have of her, it's like, yeah, the dressing room next to her, and she brought home somebody, and she put his head right through the headboard. It's like, okay, damn, there, little buddy, just fuck. But, yeah, they hated each other. It's like the old lady said, well, I just want a free trip to Hawaii, and then my mother was in the hospital, and I got a phone call and started crying, and my husband came over and was like, what happened? Your mother died? No, they made the fucking show into a goddamn season three. She was like, I thought it was just not going to ever go anywhere. So, oh, my God, I'm just going to be known for this piece of shit.
I think if they had actually gotten royalties, that it would have been very different. But, of course, back in those days, I think Gilligan's Island was one of the things that was cited when they were working for like residual and royalty reform, because at the time, I don't think any of them were getting royalties. So they had to do a lot of just crap that was way beneath them, such as, what's his name? The man that played Destin Howell.
Oh, Jim Backus.
Jim Backus, yes. I kept wanting to call him Mr. Magoo because that's, you know, that's one of his big roles. So. But, yeah, he was in Angel's Revenge, which was, if you've seen Mystery Science Theater, you've probably seen it. It's an absolutely atrocious film, but it's so funny. But, yeah, his last role was this really embarrassing stereotype in an exploitation film, so...
Yeah, and I think his last role after that was he did one cameo for one of the god-awful Gilligan's Island movies. I think Harlem Globetrotters visit Gilligan's Island. And they had him at the end of it because he was just so stricken with whatever disease it was that finally killed him. He kind of showed up at the end of it like Mr. Grace on Are You Being Served? You're all doing very well.
Yeah. I love that show. We've talked about it on here.
I do, too. I love the show. Mr. Humphreys, the guy that played him, was just magnificent. But, yeah, you're right. Back then, a lot of those people didn't get paid for doing those shows. Even Star Trek, one of the big reasons that it took so long to get it into the movie theaters, Nimoy refused to do it because, like, you guys have my face in Britain as a Heineken ad, and I'm not even getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get me a lawyer or I'll never do this film again.
Did you see that ad with Leonard Nimoy and the gentleman who currently plays Spock for those new films?
Oh, where they were doing the golf thing and they were racing?
Yeah.
I like Leonard. Leonard has learned not to take himself seriously now.
I just love the commercial just because he started to sing the Bilbo Baggins song.
I do, you're going there. Because I was sitting there, too. It's like, he's not doing the fucking Bilbo. Oh, Jesus. You can tell he's old and just doesn't care anymore. He's like Shatner. Although Shatner is the biggest whore you could ever... He did a heavy metal album that nobody listened to.
Okay, that's news to me. What?
Oh, it came out last year. He did it with producer and guitar player Zach Wilde. And it was basically Shatner sings heavy metal hits. Let me find it real quick.
Oh, my God. Does he sing like...
He sings exactly like he did Mr. Tambourine Man.
Oh, my God, no.
But he actually sings some of your favorite classics, and he does Iron Man. And if you thought he sounded bad just speaking the lyrics, wait till they mix him with that vocoder doing Iron Man. And he does Major Tom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, here we go. William Shatner is Iron Man.
I just found it on.
Oh, I have heard of that then. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The whole album was
horrible. And he was actually talking about how he was, like, you know, trying to be taken seriously. Here it is. He did Walking on the Moon by the Police. He did Space Oddity. He did Pink Floyd's Learning to Fly, like, that wasn't just a song people talked through to begin with. So it's pretty bad. But, yeah, I do love the new Leonard Nimoy commercial with that. He does know how to be a whore.
Well, I figure we can all follow Elvira's advice here. If you got him, why not make money with him?
I agree with her on that, and she had him.
I do, too. Yeah. Yes, she really has.
She had him. Oh, yeah, the name of the album, by the way, Searching for Major Tom.
Oh, dear.
You can actually buy this.
Why actually buy when you can find it on YouTube? Here we go.
Yeah, I would hate to. Oh, thank you. Trust me, I'm not clicking that link. Oh, yeah, here we go. He did Space Cowboy, Space Truckin', Rocket Man, She Blinded Me with Science, Spirit in the Sky, Bohemian Rhapsody.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mr. Spaceman, Twilight Zone, and Planet Earth from Duran Duran. It's pretty bad.
You know, he directed two, like, alien kind of movies here recently.
Who, Shatner?
Yeah. They were like in the last like 5 or so years.
Trying to remember what he did, because I know most of what he does. William Shatner is kind of like the Stan Lee of acting.
I like that analogy.
That is a good analogy.
Yeah.
Well, he's a whore. I mean, just to change subjects real quick, Stan Lee has finally done something everybody's been waiting for. Let me find it. I just got to tell you like it is, to be honest. This is why you asked me on here, to keep you guys, you know, up
evil
with what's real out there. You can now buy Stan Lee the fragrance.
No.
It smells like booze and cigarettes?
Says it smells like bergamot, ginger, white pepper, basil, and violet, and features layers of cedar and musk, which is what I think about when I think about Stan Lee.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like Stan Lee, because I actually was, like, less than 5 feet away from him. That's not what he smells like.
No, he smells like death is what he smells like.
That's horrible.
Well, he does. I ran into him at what was the big comic con here? Dragon Con. They had him, and they had a big tent for him, and you saw this little hobbling elf-looking guy just sitting there, I'll sign your comics. I don't care, DC, it's fine. Just put it in front of me and put a pin in my hand. I'll do it.
And, Spider Pig? Sure, why not?
Oh, God, yeah. Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider-Ham. I remember that one.
Actually, in one of the most recent Spider-Man games, Peter Porker did show up at the end.
Well, of course, because they're running on fumes at this point.
And they've worked it into one of the new, the current Spider-Man series on TV. They've actually done an episode where he does become Spider Pig.
Yeah, Loki spikes his... he's wiener, and,
pretty much, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Loki spiked his wiener, he turns into a pig.
Yeah, that would do it for me, too. But, yeah, William Shatner and Stan Lee, they're the biggest hucksters on the planet. I mean, Shatner, the last few years, he was making movies like William Shatner Takes Over a Small Town, and, Why You Owe William Shatner for All the Great Things in Life. He actually made these movies.
You know, though, I think I mentioned in one of the other episodes, it sort of does seem to me like a tremendous success, in a way, if you can just, sort of like Adam West, if you can really be successful just being yourself, or even just being like a caricature of yourself. That just seems like...
The sad part, though, is I think Adam West has more class than William Shatner. That's saying a lot. I mean, you look at Adam, and I've met Adam. He was at the same con. And you can tell just by talking to him, he doesn't take this shit seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But Stan Lee or William Shatner, they're dead serious. It's like, I believe every word that comes out of my rancid pie hole. But I bet you do. It's just, no wonder, you know, Scotty hated your guts. Just, wow. But yeah, Adam's a good example, too, because you see the biography about them, they said the same thing. Burt Ward was like, that show ruined my career. What career?
Yeah.
You're known as, basically a little troll-looking guy that does effects now. It's like nobody remembers you from wearing the tights there, Bert.
I do, because he wasn't wearing underwear beneath him.
Oh, he mentioned that.
Yeah.
He said he chafed like a mother when he tried to run in those things, so he had to go commando a lot.
Yes. Yeah, and I noticed I was watching the 60s series in the last couple of years with a friend of mine, and they were... I think it was one of the Catwoman episodes I first noticed it, but he was, like, tied to this thing on a rooftop with a giant magnifying glass.
Oh, God.
And he was struggling, of course, so he was sort of bowed out, you know, like he was arching his back and just sort of almost thrusting. It was actually rather... it was much more suggestive than it was meant to be, especially because I noticed at that moment, hey... Robin's not wearing anything underneath those green shorts. And I pointed it out to Tsutsumi, he's been on the show.
Yeah.
I pointed it out to Tsutsumi, and he was like, wow, he really isn't, is he?
Well, you do realize that, you know, just to give you a little bit of a correlation, This is the same guy that on this show they had him eaten by a giant clam.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I still think the ones with the Riddler, where they sort of did this fake thing where this girl was impersonating Robin, and they've got, you know, we're just standing there with his hand on his hip and, like, very feminine pose with a woman's yes. voice coming out of him. I'm like, yep, no one's ever going to forget this.
Nah, that was a career stopper right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Poor Bert.
I did love him as Robin. I think he was just the definitive Robin. I loved that
I
show.
I still think the villains made that show, though.
They really did. Well, they really had some of the best character actors of their time on that show. And, although I will say that two of the villains especially always unsettled me and even unsettle me now. Like, I've rewatched those episodes recently.
Okay.
And they still disturb the shit out of me.
All right.
But like, Mr. Zero, Mr. Freeze, and the fucking Mad Hatter. Every fucking Mad Hatter episode on the 60s Batman series is so fucking terrifying. It scared me as a child. It scares me as an adult. The Mad Hatter is fucking terrifying.
I still
well,
like
they
Egghead.
Were just such evil bastards. You still like Egghead?
Oh my god, it was just so cheesy. Oh, it just
Oh, Vincent.
Only yeah. Vincent Price.
Like only all those egg puns could like yeah. You're just saying that in the bad wig job, you know, to make it look like you had a shaved head, but every now and then you would see it and
and of course I had to pull up an entire list of all the villains. Yeah, I remember they had this like two-part episode that I never could understand. They had this old broad on it, Tallulah Bankhead.
I love Tallulah Bankhead. I loved it when
she was the Black Widow.
Yes, the Black Widow. And there was that episode. Are you talking about the one where she teams up with Egghead?
Yep, that was the one.
It was
crazy.
Yes, it was two crazy, wonderful actors basically eating up the scenery between them. And it was sort of like this contest to see if Tallulah or Vincent could eat up more scenery. And it was just wonderful. That dynamic just blew me away. I was just like, this is so fucking crazy, but I love it.
I think Vincent basically won that one, though.
Yes.
Because if anybody knew how to be a ham, it was Vincent.
Oh, yes.
I forgot about him. They had Milton Berle on this thing as a villain. Louis the Lilac. I'm like, you're not even trying, are you? What a horrible show.
I loved it. I have to say, I confess, I loved it. Well, I love the... I'm a big enthusiast and student of, you know, especially the art history of, like, the 60s and the 20s, above all, because those are my two of my favorites. But the artistry in the Batman, the 60s series of Batman, really just blows me away. A lot of the set design and the costume design, especially. Did you know that the... have you seen that Batman XXX parody?
Oh, God.
They actually got the same costume designer from the 60s show to do.
Wait, is that the one where she's bouncing on the ball up and down, up and down, up and down, or is that a different one?
I think that was actually on the show.
Yeah, I think that was actually on the show.
I remember the Batman XXX parody.
Yeah, and the costumes were so good because that was actually the same person who did the costume.
And I had to look that one up too. but yeah, and you know, the sad thing is the porn stars' names, they're just as bad as the villain names on the 60s Batman show. Dale DeBone was Batman in this. So, yeah, you could kind of understand where things went, but yeah, they did design it pretty much to be exactly like the Adam West show.
You know, they did some of them really did a good job. I was surprised, and you know, I like the fact that on the unlike the set, you could actually watch it without any of the hardcore scenes. So you could actually watch it as if it were an episode of the Batman series.
They did do a good job with what they had.
Yeah, they did a good job with what they had. That was really what I meant. And I thought it was especially funny that the dude that played the Joker had his paint on over a moustache, just like Cesar Romero, because Cesar Romero would not shave his moustache because it had taken him such effort to grow it, you know, and cultivate it and everything. And in his words, you know, the ladies loved it, so he was not about to get rid of that mustache.
Yeah, he made it crystal clear. Fuck you. You just paid over this thing. You know, I still need to get laid when this show is done.
You know what was wonderful is I was listening. I don't know if it was on the commentary of the movie, which had Adam West in Burt Ward, but they were talking about Scissor in something. But apparently he would come on the set, you know, and he would sleep between his scenes. Like, he would just be dead to the world, asleep, and all they'd have to do is just sort of nudge him and say, "You're on." And he would get up, he would do his scene, and then he would go back to sleep.
Oh, you're talking about Back to the Batcave.
Maybe that was it. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, because they did this huge, it was like a two-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was behind the scenes for the TV show. Yeah. And they had a lot of that. It was called Return to the Batcave, The Misadventures of Adam and Bert.
Maybe that... I don't remember seeing that, but maybe that was it. Maybe I just saw it and followed it back. But I thought that was such a charming story, though, you know, for him.
It's actually fun. It does show all of that background. And it even showed, you know, Vincent Price on the set of the show doing Egghead and just starting a huge egg fight, and people are like, "Vincent, calm down." No! The man was a trip. He's one of those actors I wish I could have met.
Yeah.
Because, you know, stereotypical American. Him and Benny Hill were like this. Because I was like, "Benny, you're old and big, but you get better looking women." It's like, wow. What's your secret?
I grew up watching that stuff, and, like, you know, old men being chased around by women in, like, bathing suits or less, and yeah.
And now anytime I watch it, I always hear that song from The Little Mermaid in the back of my head, "Part of Your World." I just want to be there. It's like, wow, titty on the rampage. But God, okay, you know, when we started this show, I asked what you guys wanted to talk about. You're like, "Well, you just go all over the place." I think we proved that point, don't you?
Yeah. So, and we've also got a title for this week, which is Titty Rampage.
Oh God, no!
That's I pretty good.
Being young,
Titty Rampage with Poink.
Yes. Nobody will believe it. Not from Poink. It's like, "Oh, Poink is this? Come on." The guy that coined Pipe the Pillow, bitch? Come on. Oh, wow.
It doesn't seem like it's been as long as it's been.
Yeah. I can't even... What time did we start this thing?
Oh, it's been...
like a little after 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we've passed the hour mark already. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we blew past it. We're going towards the second star.
Okay. I will say this, if you guys ever want to have me back, just let me know.
We'll be more than glad to have you back.
Oh, yes, this is always so much fun.
This was not as much fun as jerking off, but it's running out of close time. So, it goes to show you how late my hands are. So,
I just made a note in my little title notepad thing, Titty Rampage with...
Yeah. Great, and the sad part is I did promise I'd tweet about this and talk about this on the show, so I've got to tell everybody, yeah, look for Titty Rampage. The only thing is the people on the show will be like, yeah, I figured.
If they know you, they'll think nothing of it.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Then again, it might run on to something else, knowing how FPS goes.
How can we tell what episode's Poink's on? Anything that refers to female genitalia, next one will be labia wars. And...
Long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Lucas fucked us all over.
I have to say, sadly, labia wars would probably be a more interesting film than... Never mind.
No, you're right, and that's another... It's a subject I've hit on. Before George, you know, sold everything to Disney.
Yeah.
He actually made a comment when he was interviewed, and people asked, are you going to make any more Star Wars films? And he said, no, because I made all those other films, and people did nothing but complain, and it hurt my feelings. I'm like, I didn't know you could be that fucking rich, and you really gave a shit about what somebody like me had to say. It's like, my exact statement, point who? You know, I got a Maserati. What do you have, bitch? See that car? Anakin action figures bought me that car. Just. But, yeah, apparently all you have to do is just say you didn't like Jar Jar Binks and you can completely topple a man's film empire.
Was this including his work with the Indiana Jones films, too? I think those belong to Disney now as well.
They're actually kind of fighting over it because Fox doesn't want to let that go.
All right, so we can have another Indiana Jones starring Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, they're still working on it. To be honest, I never watched that film. People have tried. They're like, you need to watch it. I'm like, it's got Crystal Skull in the title.
I like the working title for the film better. It was called Indiana Jones and the Saucer Men.
That would have been, to me, it would have been more in keeping with the spirit of the films. Because the spirit of the film was basically, it was supposed to be a takeoff on the old serial action films that used to run before the, you know, main film back in the day. Like Radar Men from the Moon and stuff like that.
The Man with the Cootie.
Crystal Skull, it's one of those titles you look at, it's like, you just don't give a shit anymore, do you?
Oh, the Undersea Kingdom. The Undersea Kingdom, do you remember that?
Harry Diana!
You know that kid with... That is exactly how that kid sounds. It's horrible. If you do not believe me, watch Undersea Kingdom, Episode 1 with Crash Corrigan. You will believe that a kid can be that annoying.
Oh, and back then they knew how to name actors. You know, Crash Corrigan, Buster Crabbe, Brock Gonad, all these people. It's the manliest motherfuckers to ever shake a dick on camera. It's like,
what we need to do is make like for our promo. That's what we should do for our promo. We should do like Brock Gonad in Labia Wars. That would just be so perfect.
Hey, go for it. I stole it from a Dave Barry book, but hey, he's not using it, so why not?
Yeah. I don't know. I liked your last promo though.
What you guys just did with the Daleks, I thought was neat.
It was supposed to be a Cyberman, but...
Well, originally we did one with the Daleks. Did you not put out that one?
No, I did not put out that one.
Oh, well, see, Skate did one with the more Dalek-y sounding thing, but his voice went out and he couldn't perfect it. So he got me, and I couldn't do a Dalek voice. I kept getting into Davros, so I was like, well, let's just do a Cyberman voice, because I love the Second Doctor's Cyberman stuff, so we did the Cyberman voice.
Oh, you mean like Tomb of the Cybermen when they're in the Arctic and stuff?
Yeah, I love...
One of my favorites.
I think my two favorites are Wheel in Space and The Invasion, because the Cybermen was so scary. But we tried to go for kind of like that. And then, of course, I remembered the Wheel in Space had this wonderful scene where the Doctor confronts the Cybermen and says, I imagine you have orders to destroy me.
Here's a link to the Dalek thing I put together.
Ah, got it. I'll listen to that, too. If you don't mind, I'll, you know, when I tweet about this, I'll point people towards that, too.
That's cool.
But, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because that was the one thing that got on my nerves about Doctor Who anyway. It's like, Doctor Who was just like this elegant British gent. And then you kind of went from him to the clowns, because you got Sylvester McCoy in the spoons, and Colin Baker and the wonderful Joseph Technicolor coat. And then, of course, as we always do, the Americans got a hold of it and tried to fuck it up, and we put a little British guy in it, but we brought Eric Robertson as the master, and the movie went absolutely nowhere. And then we just basically go for heartthrob people. It's like, you do realize that everybody's not going to want to fuck him when they figure he's 900 years old. Yeah. But back in the early days, he just had, like, obviously, you're here to destroy me. You wouldn't hear that today. It's like, oi.
Who's your butler?
You know, that kind of
I always liked how wonderfully John Pertwee, the Third Doctor, could just completely destroy people just with words. It was just absolutely wonderful because he did not put up with any bullshit, especially from politicians. No. And I think some of this was some of the writers just getting out their frustrations, but the Third Doctor could always just like cut people down completely just by, he was just like the diva of his day.
You know? Oh, and I loved Pertwee. I mean, they put out an audio book, which was like one of his speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear some of the stories he would tell about that show.
Oh, yeah.
And especially after he did that show and he went on to his next show, which was Wurzel Gummidge.
Yes.
Which was about as far removed from Doctor Who as
Yeah, it pretty much was. But he had such versatility. And, you know, I've told this story so many times, but it's like one of the most important things in my life. When I was a child, I actually met him. And I've never forgotten it because, you know, I was a child at the time. The Third Doctor was absolutely my hero. You know, like my number one hero, the person I wanted to be. I was absolutely just infatuated with the complete concept that he brought to the screen. And looking back, I always think it would have been so easy for me to be disappointed because that character was just so, you know, over the top, so completely massive and in scope and presence. But no, he has this amazing presence. I went to see him, and he was the most alive person that I've ever known. And it's funny because they actually say that. I think Sarah Jane says that in one or two of the episodes. He was just the most alive person that I've ever met, ever known, because he just had this tremendous presence. You could tell where he was at any given time. And it was he was just so amazing. And when I went through the autograph line, he actually stopped the line so that my mother could get a picture of me with him. He was a wonderful man, though, and I've never forgotten it because, especially as an adult, I realized it would have been so easy for him to have disappointed me. You know, so easy for me to go and just find out, oh, well, you know, it's just some actor, you know, he's not really that amazing or over the top. No, he really is that amazing. That's the man you meet when you see him on the screen. You meet and that in person.
Back then, you know, when you met actors, they had a class to them. You know, they were genuine. You could talk to them. They were really great people. They went out of their way to be nice. You meet any of these new actors, buy a fucking autograph or get out of my face. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because ran into that, too. Probably told this story before, but I'm sure, considering the group that I'm talking to, you're fans of Star Trek Next Generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back in the day, we used to have a convention here called the FX Con.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get, you know, all these actors. It basically was a toy convention, but you'd get all these movie actors, and we would interview them for the show. We interviewed the entire cast of Willy Wonka without Gene Wilder, Jeremy Bullock, who was Boba Fett. Lovely interview. And actually, Doug Bradley, who to this day is one of my favorite actors.
I just saw that clip from YouTube from your channel.
Yep, where he helped create Poink. Lovely man, because we just said, we want you to play with the puppet. And he's like, okay. He was cool with it. But then we went one year, and I'll never forget it. I met Marina Sirtis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, we probably did not give her the greatest image when we came at her, because it was me and KP, and KP does Ezra on the show. You know, wonderful guy, one of my best friends. And he's got the puppet on because we've been talking to people and doing interviews. And we go up to Marina Sirtis, and there he is with the puppet, and she's just sitting there, and he goes, in his nicest voice, because he, you know, he knows how to talk to people. Hi, we'd like to interview you for our show. And she took one look at him, and then one look at me, stood up with her water bottle, no, and just walked off. And we're like, oh, we just got dissed by one of the B-listers from Star Trek The Next Generation. The ugly one, because I never thought she was that cute. I'm like, the one that I always liked, they killed her off in the first season.
Yeah, I was really pissed off about that. I thought that was, well, I thought that was just so assy of them. Because,
well,
like,
she even regretted it, but she was the one that asked for it.
Well, she asked to be, you know, to leave the show because, well, she was pretty right in believing the way it was going then that it would probably go nowhere. So, and they wouldn't use her. They wouldn't use the character. They barely used the character.
Well, yeah. She does have the distinction of being the first person to fuck Data.
That's true. That's true.
Have you seen those documentaries that she produced?
I've seen one of them. She didn't do a bad job.
No.
Wait, she made a documentary about fucking Data?
No, that's actually more of a secret documentary.
Oh, okay.
No, she made two movies. I think they're called Trekkies and Trekkies 2.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
They're both on Netflix.
I didn't know she was attached to that. I know she's been doing... She's actually working with Star Trek Online now and doing the narration as Sela for the Romulan side.
They probably couldn't afford Leonard anymore.
Well, it was pretty neat. Although it does frustrate me that they keep playing with the Tasha Yar character, but they won't just, you know, bite the bullet and bring her back. Because it pisses me off, because they keep saying, oh, you want Tasha Yar? You can't have Tasha Yar. Fuck you! Fuck you! We want fucking Tasha Yar! Just fucking bring her back! It's not like you've got some sort of amazing integrity with this show. Bring the fucking character back. We all want her. You know we want her.
The show had its moments. It had its bad moments, too. But
it had a lot of bad moments. But it had a lot of good moments, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love Data, you can only take so much of Data learns to paint. Okay, there's a plot point. Data learns how to play checkers. Okay, great. Worf does something stupid with the kid he didn't want. Okay, great. Could
Data
we just see
Picard? DP.
Yeah, and he did. And Data and that cat. And if you ever watch any of the interviews with Brent Spiner, he hated that cat. Just despised that cat. It's like, he even says, we couldn't even get the cat to eat tuna right. We had him on the show, and we'd point to the can. He'd look everywhere else. Finally, the cat did one thing on cue. He fell asleep. But it was a fun show, and yeah, we met Marina, and of course, she was a bitch. And I might be being mean, maybe it was a bad day, plus here we come at her with a puppet, so I'm sure these guys do run into some weird people. The other one that kind of struck us as odd was Walter Koenig,
mm-hmm.
who played Chekhov.
Yeah.
He refused to interview us. He would not shut up, though, about his new hobby, which was mood crystals. He talked to us for an hour about that, but he refused to let us interview him.
That's really odd.
It's like nobody else would talk to him, so he wouldn't let us go.
It kind of reminds me of that one guy from Animaniacs that just kept talking when the Yakko was shaking his hand. He tried to bite his arm off.
Oh, Mr. Director?
No, he was the one voiced by Ben Stein.
Oh, God, yeah, I forget the name, but I know the character. Now I got to look it up.
You know, I met Walter Koenig years and years ago, and he was very, very pleasant, but I think he probably discovered mood crystals long after I met him.
Well, and to give the man credit, he got older.
Yeah.
And as he got older, he had a lot of bad stuff happen to him, like his son, you know, died. Forget if he had killed himself or what had you. And the character name that Ben Stein played was Francis Pump Handle. I give that show credit. That show pushed some boundaries. To give a plug to somebody else, if you've ever heard of Doug Walker, the Nostalgia Critic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The introspective he does on Animaniacs is worth watching.
Oh, it was really great.
It was.
And I was amazed he got, you know, all the people on that he did.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've met a few of them, but never all in one place. And again, sometimes they won't talk to you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's great. I love that show. Ben Stein is an interesting person.
I remember his game show, Who Wants to Win Ben Stein's.
Oh, God, yeah, that MTV thing.
Comedy Central, I believe.
Yeah, one of those networks.
Potato, potato.
Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, is his guest host, and then Jimmy Kimmel's cousin after Jimmy Kimmel became famous.
You know who I met that was an absolute delight?
Oh, who's that?
Just an absolute wonderful person is Richard Horvitz.
I know the name.
Yeah, he did the voice of Zim from Invader Zim.
That's right.
And he really fucking sounds like Zim. It's so funny because I used to do more conventions than I do now. I stepped back a bit because of not only of my health, but also because I needed to concentrate on things that, you know, I was actually doing instead of going to conventions and appearing and running tables because it would, you know, wear me out. And of course, I had some really bad experiences too, but that's neither here nor there. I was at one of these shows, and he was there, and we were in the same room because it was like the few artists that they had and then a couple of their special guests, and then the other room was different. But I have a friend that his health is not the best. Like, he actually has a chronic condition, and he really wanted to be there. I had actually never seen the series Invader Zim at the time, and I knew he loved it. He always talked about it, you know. Like, this friend of mine always talked about Invader Zim, and so on the last, I think it was the last day, I went up to him and I said, "Is there any way we could do like a trade or something?" Because one of my friends, and I explained to him that he just really loved Invader Zim, and I said, he's very sick though, he couldn't be here, and he said, just wait there for a moment. So he goes to his table, and he comes back with this glossy picture of Zim, with this wonderful personal message to my friend, you know, and he said, no, you don't have to do anything, you know, it's fine. I have to watch the size, you know, for the carry on and everything. So I did him a little picture, a little sketch of himself, and he really liked that. But yeah, he was there with Gurr, I believe, or was he there with Dib? He was there with one of the other. But they were talking back and forth the whole time, and it was so funny because I didn't really realize at the time because I'd never seen the series. But they really sound a lot like the characters on the show, like more than most voice actors actually sound when they're not trying to do a voice. But wonderful man, and my friend regards that as his geek treasure. He had it framed.
Wow.
The only celebrity kind of thing I had was with, oh God, I forget her name. The Body Rolls,
Oh, yes.
Yes, her name is escaping me.
Leslie Hall.
Yes,
Leslie
thank
Hall.
You. Leslie yeah. Hall. I did a portraiture of her, and she adored it. And
yeah, she's very sweet. She's very, very supportive when anybody does any art or any sort of creative thing. She's a really nice person.
Very. I actually kept the email and framed it. Because it's like, I don't know. I thought it was neat to me.
That is really cool. And I have seen Invader Zim. By now, by the way. I forgot to mention that. After that experience, I was like, I need to watch this show.
It took a while. Somebody finally gave it to me as well. And I watch it, but I have to watch it in small doses. Because it's a fun show, but it is so off the wall.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely is.
But it's a good show, and that guy Horvitz does a lot of big voices. I remember him more as Dag.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, from the Angry Beavers.
Yes.
I kind of like how that show went when they found out they were going to be canceled.
The final episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand, he kind of burned a few bridges with Nickelodeon on that one. Because, like, we don't want people to think we're only going to do this for 65 episodes. Well, we're going to make sure they do.
Yes, here is something that I found. I was watching Netflix, and I happened to be watching Angry Beavers, and I had the subtitles on because not all of the audio is able to be heard by me. Mm-hmm. So I was watching it, and this curious subtitle comes up. It's the one where they have like the sort of retro film characters and Adrian Barbeau's on it and everything. But like, it's got her character being helped up by the two beavers. And in parentheses, in the subtitles, it says, beavers struggling. Like, we're supposed to know what this sounds like. You know? The title just says it all, beavers struggling. All right, Netflix, you've got me.
I do love the way they do some things like that. I'm looking at it now. It's like, what kind of sound does it make? It's like...
Like, if you're hard of hearing, how are you going to know what sound a beaver makes when it struggles?
I think it might sound something like this. Can anybody hear that?
Yeah, we heard it, and you just lost whatever female listeners you had. But
we had female listeners?
Well, I'm hopeful.
Who's your female listeners? Cassie was on here. She listened.
Oh, well, okay. That's fun.
Yeah, she'll probably find it amusing. I found it amusing, anyway. Of course, I have no shame, so.
No. I don't think if you're on this show, your shame is gone.
Yeah, you really can't have shame and be on this show. I think it's one of those things, this is like a prerequisite. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, sorry I lost you there for a second. I was just, you know, one of the joys of doing Skype, somebody emailed me about the con I'm working on. I just emailed him back. It's like, here you go. By the way, I'm doing a podcast. Oh, joy.
It's called Titty Rampage.
Oh, yeah, I got to write that title down. Titty Rampage. Now I won't get to use it for one of my podcasts. It's like, I can't call it Titty Rampage now. I've already used it. Oh, shit.
Well, you could use it, and you could have like one of us appear as a brief cameo role, and then
don't tempt me. I will. I do that a lot. As the one I just did, I've got my girlfriend doing the voice of the fast food person. So. Yeah, I'm not above milking my friends to have them do cameos.
Oh man, I know we'd all love to do one.
All right, I will be in touch.
It's been so much fun talking to you. I mean,
well, thank you. I've enjoyed the hell out of this.
It's really funny because it sort of feels like we've known each other forever when we talk like this. I love it when people get that comfortable.
Well, you gotta remember, Titty is an icebreaker.
That's true.
Once he said Titty. He must be cool. Just...
Yeah.
Once we've talked about, you know, sexual intercourse, we're friends forever.
Yeah.
Actually, you can't get much closer than that.
You could, yeah. But that would involve surgery and a chain of two horrible movies.
Well, that could also go in the opposite direction, too. We could build a career like Taylor Swift, where no matter what happens, you write a song about it. Just, God, what a bitch. It's like, I'm sorry. It's like, we will never get back together. Yes, we know. Shut up. You'll know when she's fucked me. She'll write a song called "I'm Bleeding Out the Asshole."
Weasels ripped my vagina, I guess.
I like that one. We could use that as a title for the show.
You know, have you seen the song of hers? You know, the Screaming Goats.
Right? Oh God!
So like, yeah. Someone edited the Screaming Goats into one of her songs, and. And you know, I thought that was really funny. And I happened to be out with my grandmother, of all people, and we were just browsing at a clothes shop, you know, and they have this piped in music, and they played the original version of that, and I started laughing. I thought I could keep it together, but I had to like really quickly excuse myself and go urgently try on something because I couldn't stop laughing. I thought they would think I had gone insane. But
you were in a store that had men's clothing, right? You weren't like in a women's store. Be like, excuse me for a second, I need to pick up this dress here and, you know, just try it on.
Do not judge him.
Beyond that. But no, these were actually men's shorts. I actually did end up buying them, so. But, yes, I,
Wasn't a total loss.
It was pretty good, but, yeah, I'll link you to this wonderful "I Knew You Were a Goat" when you walked in.
Please do, because we ran some of the Screaming Goats on the show we did. Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You."
Oh my!
And we're just glad that it died off faster than Gangnam Style.
You know, he tried to come back with a follow-up act.
Oh, God, it was pathetic. Yeah, you're talking about Gentleman?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ran that one. We criticized the fuck out of that video. It's like, okay, Cy, look, we thought you were cute before you took yourself seriously. Now it just doesn't work.
I don't think he really takes himself seriously. I just don't think he really I don't think he tries as such to appeal to, like, a worldwide audience. I think he just sort of does his own thing, more Korean-based, really.
Yeah, it's nice that he, you know, made it famous over here with the horsey thing. And
yeah.
I did love how the news tried to take – he talked bad about our government in music. I'm like, we – talk bad about our government and music all the time.
What's
if we can do it, why can't he?
Really funny when he saw all the people that had a bunch of these different videos that people had made doing like the dance and doing their own thing for the dance. And Chody was really a good sport too, and some of the parodies as well, which you
were
know some. Yeah, some people just cannot take it when someone makes a parody out of them or whatever, which, you know, you would think it would be odd with someone who had just such a comical video in the first place. So I was glad that he was a good sport about that. He seemed to be a very, you know, jovial sort of person.
Wasn't there some story about Weird Al covering one of Lady Gaga's songs and she ended up firing somebody?
Yes.
Yeah, he had asked to, I think, was it Bad Romance or was it...
Born This Way, yeah. And he had asked her publicist if he could do it, and the publicist said she would never allow you to do one of these songs. Well, when she heard about it, she's like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Weird Al wants to do my video? I've made it in this world.
It's one of the best ones he's done. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know. I really like it.
I thought it was funny, too.
He does top himself with every album. I mean, I thought, you know, White and Nerdy was the pinnacle, and, you know, he basically topped it when he did the whole Born This Way, and you kind of wonder, what's he going to follow it up with?
Well, I know he has written 2 children books as of late.
Everybody's writing children's books. I mean, I'm writing one. Soon you can buy it in Barnes & Noble. Get the fuck out of my way, kid. It's just...
Followed by the sequel, Titty Rampage.
Ah, there you go. Here's a titty. That would be that's a good name for a book for a kid. Here's a titty. These are what mommy's got.
Also...
when they sag, they're not for you. Just... Wow. I'm sorry, guys. I am starting to run out of steam here.
All right, I think we all sort of are, but it's so much fun. We don't really want
this,
it to end.
This was a hoot, guys. I mean, I'm serious. The next couple of months, I'm going to be tied up because I've got Anthrocon coming up, and I'm doing stand-up there, and I've got Megaplex coming up. But I'll tell you what. If you want to give me a shout like August or something, I will be more than happy to come back on.
That would be wonderful.
Be awesome.
And don't know how long it'll take you to post this, but get me a link. I will pimp the shit out of it.
I can get it up within the hour.
Oh, even better. I will wait until you get it posted, and I will go ahead and get it out there. I'll bring it up on the show, and we can extend your viewership by maybe one.
Bonus.
God knows, when I speak, nobody listens, but... But no, guys, this was a blast. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you very much. It was wonderful to meet you, and I really enjoyed your show. I've been going back over the Pointcast.
You actually listened to my stuff after, you know, getting me on here? I'm so sorry.
No. No, really. I'm
the same way. I listen to my old stuff. I'm like, I did this?
I loved it. It was so addictive. It was like popcorn. You know, you start and then you're like, well, just one more. Just one more.
You know, if you're fat, you've got some disease.
I didn't mean to draw that sort of analogy. Yeah.
Oh, trust me. Try anything. I'm going to come up with some way to degrade it. That's what I do. You know, it's like a beautiful woman. Oh, gonna rip me off for everything she can and go marry somebody younger. Got it. Okay.
So, before we close out, I just want this like little bit of self-indulgence. Can you do like the whole cue noise to end us out?
Oh, you mean one where I beeble?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. I just can't pull that out when people, oh, son of a bitch.
All right, folks, have a good night, and we'll be back after our hiatus in about 2 weeks.
Good night, folks.